God, where are we going? God, we are lost. God, where do we go from here? These are just a few questions you might say out loud on a road trip when, I don't know, your husband or father or whoever happens to be driving gets us hopelessly lost. And strangely enough, I find myself asking these questions more and more frequently in our crazy world. We are in such a strange place as a community, as a country, as a world. We are continuing to fight one of the worst pandemics in modern history. And while I think we can all agree that we are sick and tired of talking about COVID, it is still very much a part of our daily lives and struggle. And while we continue to move our lives forward, it is still jarring when it impacts our community directly. And we can't help but stop and ask, God, where do we go from here? And if that wasn't enough to be thinking about and to be stressing about, we are also in the midst of an incredibly divisive political season. As a nation, we are divided. There are signs of it everywhere, and on every news station around the clock. And as we hope to move forward, we can't help but stop and ask, where do we go from here? Well, in this morning's reading, we get some advice on exactly where we go from here. You see, with this question, we are looking to the future. We are looking ahead. And we may not know specifically where we are going, but we know that where we are is not quite right. For this advice, we are going to look at Paul's letter to the church in Rome. Some quick background information first to set the stage of this reading. It is the longest and last written chronologically letter of Paul, despite appearing first in the Bible, being placed right after the book of Acts. And unlike nearly all of the other letters that Paul wrote, this one does not have a particular event or subject that Paul is trying to correct. And because of that, it has a very different feel to it. It has a very different tone to it. And in a lot of ways, this letter feels more like an educational tool offered by Paul as he's trying to gain the approval of this already established church in Rome. So let's dive in. We are going to be reading from Romans 8 and looking at verses 10 through 16. I will be using the Message translation of the Bible this morning. And the text says this: "But for you who welcome him, in whom he dwells, even you still experience all the limitations of sin. You yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raises Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his spirit living in you, your body will be alive as Christ's. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life you have received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant. Greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here we are in the second week of November, in the middle of what I refer to as the season of seasons. And if your house is anything like mine, you go through multiple phases of decorations during this time of year. And certainly if you work in any kind of retail, you know what I'm talking about as well. You first start in September with harvest season, and you start to see decorations much like this, with pumpkins and corn stalks popping up everywhere. And suddenly you blink and you transition into dark and scary and maybe a few spider webs for Halloween. And then before you know it, those pumpkins start to disappear and get replaced by colors of red, green, or gold, with pictures of snowmen and decorated trees and hundreds of twinkling lights. And we go collectively from this dark and dreary season to a world full of light. And once we're in this season of seasons, I often find myself looking expectantly ahead. What decorations are next? What holiday is next? What part do I play in this next holiday celebration? What do I need to go buy? What needs to be done before this holiday? And even a little bit of unspoken pressure to start buying those Christmas presents, even though Christmas is still a month and a half away. In this morning's reading, God is calling us to live our lives every day in this spirit. Not necessarily with the decorations, but as adventurously expectant, looking ahead to where God is calling us in the future, where God is calling us to be. And at the beginning of this reading, we are reminded that we are not alone in this life, that God has given us this amazing gift of the Holy Spirit. Typically, we hear the Holy Spirit as a flame or as wind or as this strange force that's pushing us in certain ways. And instead, in this reading this morning, we get a slightly different picture of the Holy Spirit. The author of the Message translation of the Bible, Eugene Peterson, describes the Spirit as the alive and present God, who is going to do the same thing that he did in Jesus, to bring you alive in him. And consider that for a moment, because it's very different than that normal, like, very abstract concept of the Holy Spirit. He says that the Holy Spirit is not just simply a GPS that you can stick to your dashboard and hope that it gets you to where you need to go. No, God is on this adventure with us. God is our co-pilot. And that's a little bit different to think about. And then Paul goes on to say that the God and the Spirit do not call you into a boring life. He says, God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. God is not calling you to simply believe in God and then do nothing about it. No, we are called to be a part of God in this world. We are called to be God's hands and feet in our community, into all that we meet. As it says in Romans 12, 11 through 13, just a few chapters later, It says, don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and inflamed. Be alert servants of the master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. And I think that passage and what we're looking at this morning is very apt to what we're going through as a community right now. Especially the phrase, be inventive in hospitality. You see, at the moment in our COVID-19 world, nothing is normal. Nothing is predictable. We can't just pretend that things go on like they normally used to. But yet, we are called to be Christians. We are called to adapt and find new ways to move forward. We're called to find new ways to bring God into the world. In one of my recent networking opportunities with youth leaders, one of our guest speakers' name was Lonnie, and she's a youth leader from down in Texas. And her quote was, stop lamenting the normal and embrace the weird. Which is such a powerful reminder because, like I said, COVID has changed our world and flipped it on its head. We've had to change how we do just about everything. We can't even go to the grocery store like normal at this point. And yet, we are called to stop comparing the normal, stop lamenting the normal, stop trying to compare our world today to how it used to be, and instead embrace this new weird world. How can we be better Christians? How can we move God forward in this world within the weird, within the world today? And we are called to approach it as adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? This morning, we are called to live our lives as adventurously expectant. Take a moment to consider what that means. The phrase literally means to look forward to the next adventure with great enthusiasm. God is calling us on an adventure with Him. To leave all the other distractions behind and to follow God. And that's easier said than done, right? We are constantly pulled into other things that frankly don't matter. We get pulled into COVID news, into election news, into engaging in fruitless arguments on social media with complete strangers. And instead, we are called to focus on God. We are called to work for God. So I leave you with this morning. Where is God calling you? What changes in your life is God calling you to make? What's next? God, where do we go from here? I pray that we let the Spirit be our co-pilot. Help us find our way and help lead us to where you want us to go. May we as your church live our lives adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa, as we get ready for our next adventure with you. Let us pray. God, we hear you calling us. We hear you pulling us in different directions. Help us to be ready to listen. Help us to ready our hearts and minds for the adventures that you have waiting for us. What's next, God? Amen.